Thank you, Kevin. Good evening, church. It's good to see you all here this evening. It's been a blessing to be here this week. Truly been an honor. And just want to thank you all for having me and for the warm hospitality. I had a wonderful time earlier today, spending it with the ladies in the ladies' Bible class time period earlier, and a wonderful lunch, and just had a wonderful time and sharing again another lesson from Philippians as we kind of honed in on one of those obscure characters in the Bible. A fellow by the name of Epaphroditus, and we spent a little bit of time looking at Epaphroditus and the special relationship that he had with the Philippian church, as well with Paul, just a really rich study there as we looked at Epaphroditus and his life. As I was telling the ladies earlier today. I love the study of obscure characters in the Bible. These people who kind of show up, there's not much talked about of them in the Bible, and yet they, even though they may seem insignificant in some ways, they really aren't. They actually are very significant, and they do huge things. And I think there's a huge message there to all of us who may feel like that we are insignificant at times when it comes to the church. We aren't. You aren't. You are very much significant to the gospel plan and what God is doing in this, in his work, in his mission. And so I love those obscure characters, and Epaphroditus is definitely one of them. Kids, remember, come see me afterwards. Hey, we're getting there. We're close. I think we can do it. One more memory verse. It's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Philippians 4:13. I think you got this. So come see me afterwards, and I'll be glad to give you the rest of the bag. So I don't have to take this home and try to finish it out. So anyway, all right. Let's bow in prayer. Pray with me, please. Father, it's good to be here once again, and we are so blessed in so many ways. Father, we thank you first and foremost for your Son, Jesus Christ, whom you gave to us on the cross, who gave his life, who shed his blood, who suffered a horrific death on the cross. But Father, we realize the significance of that death. More important, Father, we realize what took place on that third day, that you raised him back to life again. The stone was rolled away, and that the tomb was empty. And Father, the tomb is still empty. And because of that, we still praise you, Father. We still praise you because we know that he still lives. And because he still lives, Father, we know too that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, and that one day, Father, we too will claim the prize that is waiting for us when our journey here on earth is done. Father, help us to realize that we're not alone. We're not alone in this journey. We thank you, Father, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your servant Paul. We thank you, Father, for the lessons that we've learned from this amazing letter. Father, help us to be the light of the world to the community and the communities around us, to the rest of the world. Help us to show and to share the love of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Well, we come to the end of this series of lessons, and I want to invite you to turn in your Bible to Philippians chapter 4. And I want to go ahead and read the rest of the letter. So if you would, follow along here as I read, starting in Philippians chapter 4, and we're just going to read the whole chapter here. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Paul says, he writes, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I plead with Euodia, and I plead with Syntyche, to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you have been concerned, but you have had no opportunity to show it. I am not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving or receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I am looking for a gift, but I am looking for what may be credited to your account. I have received full payment, and even more, I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet all the saints in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Chapter 4 begins with Paul summing up chapter 3 with Paul's encouragement to the church in Philippi to stand firm in the Lord in spite of opposition. As he echoes once again what he said to them in chapter 1 and verse 27. And then we see Paul addressing the conflict that has taken place between these two women, Euodia and Syntyche, and for the church to be involved in the process of helping these two women resolve their conflict. And then as we move on, Paul gives them a short glimpse of what their lives in Christ should look like, that it should be characterized by joy, by gentleness, and prayer. And then he challenges them to set their minds on the godly traits of truth and nobility and righteousness and purity and love and being admirable and excellent and praiseworthy. And then he says, put it all into practice. All of it into practice. And then he talks about learning to be content in any and every situation. He talks about his strength, that he gets it from being in Christ. And you can see how being in Christ could give him the strength to get through all the beatings, all the stonings, all the floggings, being thrown into prison, all the hardships that he faced in life. And then in chapter 4 and verse 14, he says, yet it was good of you to share in my troubles. The Philippians were a generous church. They gave when no one else gave. And sure enough, when they found out that Paul was in prison, well, they sent gifts to him. They even sent one of their own. They sent Epaphroditus to Paul to bring him those gifts. And then in the final greeting, he tells him that all the brothers and all the saints who are with him send them their greeting, even those who belong to Caesar's household. And it's just amazing that the gospel of Jesus Christ has even spread to Caesar's household. Now, I thought to myself, how could I look at chapter 4 in a different way than I ever have before? You know, I could break it down into sections. You could easily do that, you know. But that would mean I would have to preach an additional 4 more sermons. And I don't think I could squeeze 4 more sermons into the time that we have left tonight. And, of course, you allow me to preach a sermon like Paul did to Eutychus over in Acts chapter 20. And then again, if you did, I might be the one that goes to sleep. Now, actually, tonight, I'm going to be short. I promise. So I thought about these trials in life, you know, the trials that we go through, because we all go through trials, right? If you haven't gone through a trial, just wait, because you will. And like I said before, it can be hard. It can be hard at times to see the joy, to find it, or to rediscover it. And I look at Paul, and I see his situation. I see the trial he is going through, being in prison. And yet he is able to experience joy because he is totally obsessed with Jesus. And he looks at the trial that he's going through, and he's able to see God's purpose through the trial. He's able to see that through the trial, that God is actually doing something good. And that there is a pattern to follow in Jesus. That Jesus is the pattern. And it's a pattern of giving up of self, of emptying self, and considering other people's interests above your own. Because, see, we are running a race in which there is a prize. And the goal is for us not to give up, but to press on, as he says in chapter 3. To press on to win the prize. And the prize that was bought on a cross for our sins by Jesus, who was raised on that third day, who lives forever in heaven. Our prize. Our home. But this race, like I said before, is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Or I guess you could say more like a journey. And as I look at chapter 4, I see the relationships and the importance of relationships. And I'm drawn back to that word in chapter 1 and verse 5 when he says, I always pray with joy because of your partnership or fellowship in the gospel, your koinonia. Then I was drawn to Philippians chapter 2 in verses 12 and 13. You might want to turn there. Philippians chapter 2 and verses 12 through 13, Paul says, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Now, you ready for this? Along with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, this passage, this verse may very well be the second most misinterpreted scripture in the Philippian letter. Now, why do I say that? Because I have often heard this verse used in the singular tense. Whoa, I just broke out the English on you. I just broke out the grammar on you. Meaning, you, the you there, has often been used in the singular form. Meaning, you as an individual, you have to work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. And church, you ready for this? That's not correct. The you is plural. It's plural. Now, this excites me. I was brought up and raised in Kansas. The plural that we used up there was you guys. Okay? You guys. It wasn't until I found my way to Texas that I learned to say you all. Okay? Or simply y'all. Okay? But church, that's what Paul is saying here. And guess what? Paul's not from Texas. He's saying, you all work out your salvation. You all. With fear and trembling. Now, that changes things big time. You know why? Because that means I'm not alone on this journey. Right? So listen to how this plays out in real life. I went to the doctor the other day. He said, I've got cancer. They can't do anything for me. You're not alone on this journey. I lost my job today. I don't know if we will have enough money at the end of the month to pay all the bills. I don't know what to do. You're not alone on this journey. He left me for another woman. I thought we could work it out. What am I going to tell the kids? What am I going to do? How are we going to make it? You're not alone on this journey. Mom's health is getting worse. She really needs more help than we can give her. But nursing homes are expensive. What do we do? You're not alone on this journey. I messed up. I had too much to drink last night. I wrecked the vehicle. I totaled it. I'm addicted to alcohol. If I don't kick this addiction soon, she's going to leave me and she's going to take the kids. you're not alone on this journey. He died. My husband of 60 years. He was my love, my life, my everything. How can I go on without him? You're not alone on this journey. Brothers and sisters, we are on in this race. We're in this race together. And some of you have been running this race a lot longer than me. You're further down the way. Some of you have just started running the race. And I want you to know that there are a host of many, many, many folks who have gone on before us. They've already run the race. And so, I want you to do something if you can. I want you to picture yourself running the race. And I want you to picture yourself running the race with everyone else that's here. So picture yourself running this race. And you're running this race. And you're running this race. But also, too, not with just yourself, but with everyone else here. And then I want you to picture that you're running the race with all the Christians around the world. They're in the race, too, with you. And you're running this race. And you're running this race. So picture it as I read to you this amazing passage of Scripture. Picture it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The writer of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, by the way. Did you picture it? Did you picture the cloud of witnesses? I can picture the cloud of witnesses. They're in the crowd, and they're cheering for you. They're cheering for all of us. They're the ones who've gone on before us. And I picture Jesus standing at the finish line. And he's waiting with open arms. And he's waiting for you. And he's waiting for me. He's waiting for all of us to finish the race And they're all rooting us on, saying, don't give up. Keep pressing on. Don't lose heart. You're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone. That's the message. If we can help you in any way, that's what we're here for. Brother Kevin led us in a song. We're part of a family, God's family. We're here to love each other, to pray for each other, to help encourage each other as we run the race together. If we can help you in any way, if you desire to give your life to Christ, be baptized into Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, come into that relationship with Him, start running your race, start the journey. We're here to help if we can. Come forward as we stand and sing.